How many's heard this scripture before?
Amen. That is 19 and 30. Come on, y'all gonna help me today. How many's heard it?
Amen.
Amen.
There's two. Anybody else?
I've read that scripture some 2,000 times.
Okay, very good. What does it mean?
First is going to be last. Last is going to be first.
You know,
people before you.
You know what I never saw before?
Well, don't preach my sermon now.
But what I never saw before is the fact of the order of what happened.
Uh-huh.
The rich young ruler is what happened right before this, where a rich young ruler came.
All right, you're still in the sermon.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. I've never seen that before.
What is it? Yes, Trella.
You're just supposed to love on people and put them first. That's good. That's very good.
Good perspective.
Put other people before yourself and be helpful, or I don't know.
Good perspective. Anybody else? In the natural, does this make sense, though?
No.
In the world, don't make sense. It don't make sense. Jesus' parables don't make sense a lot of times, does it? Blessed are ye, he mourn. What? The Beatitudes, read them, Matthew 5. Do they make sense all the time? In the natural?
No.
No. Then the only way how they make sense?
In the
spirit.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's read through, and we're going to go to 20 now, and then we're going to back up. We're going to talk about the laborers in the vineyard. Okay. For the kingdom of heaven. How many know when you talk? What happens when you talk about the kingdom of heaven? It's not of this world, right?
Right.
All right. So that just answered our question about this is not. The world don't understand this principle, okay? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about in the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, you too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. And so they went. Again he went out in the sixth hour, in the ninth hour, and did the same thing. And on the 11th hour he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day long? They said to him, because no one hired us. He said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. Now I'm going to stop right there a minute. All right, let's back up. Now to understand this story, this parable of Christ, you have to look backwards, okay, what he's talking. Look back with me up to 19 and 27. Now, we're going to go there a second, but like Penny was saying, this whole chapter, anybody know what the chapter of 19 started with? Divorce, yes, Renita. He started talking on divorce. He was being tested by the what? By who?
Pharisees,
all right. And he begins to teach and tell them about divorce. And then it goes into Jesus and blessed the little children. He said, then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray. And what does the disciples do? They rebuke the little children. Get back! Get back! And what does Jesus reply? He says, now listen to this. And Jesus said, let the children alone. Don't hinder the little children. Let them come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as what? These. Then he goes into the story of there's a guy comes to him, the rich young ruler. And what happens in this story, Penny?
Someone that the world considers to be first and highest what must he do to inherit eternal life? And, well, the only way you can inherit something is what? You're part of a family, right? You can't inherit something unless you're part of a family. And he said, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. And the rich young ruler, who's first in the world, refused to give up what made him first in the world.
He didn't just refuse it. What did he have?
He went away sorrowful.
Right? In the world, he was considered probably first in line, wasn't he?
Man of respect.
Man of respect. Why?
Money.
Money. Do you know that money is one of the most talked about things in the New Testament? But yet, if you talk about money in the church, you're chastised as a pastor, as a preacher, as an evangelist, more than anything else. Christ didn't have a problem with it. When he came to him, well, you will follow me, go sell everything you got, give it to the poor.
Come follow me.
Come follow me. Now what does that mean, follow me? What did he tell Peter? Let's go with Peter here. Simon. When he called Simon, what did he tell him? Come, follow me. I'll make you fishermen of what? Men. And then he told, take up your cross.
I did that with Peter when Peter took out his best catch he's ever caught his entire life, and then told him, put down the net and follow me.
Oh, that's great. I never saw that.
At that time, was he Peter or was he Simon still?
Simon.
Still Simon. So, we're going to look at a lot of things this morning. But first, to understand the laborers in the vineyard, you've got to look at 27 here. This is the key. Listen to this. It said, then Peter, after Jesus told him this, you know, with the rich young ruler, and the last statement he's made, with men this is impossible, with God all things are possible. Amen. All right? And then he says, then Peter answered and said to him, behold, listen to this now, we have left what? Everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?
What's in it for me?
What's in it for me?
Yeah.
Come on, guys. I'm going to start preaching in a second. I'm going to tell you what. And Jesus said to them, truly I say to you that you who have followed me into the regeneration, what is that? Mm-hmm. Huh?
The regeneration, I mean, when we be changed, when we see him, when he comes for us in the twinkling of an eye, when we're changed to be like him.
Followed me into the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne. So now we're talking what?
Heaven.
We're talking kingdom again, but we're talking heaven. We're talking about the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And he said, the Son of Man will sit on his throne. You also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left house, our brother, our sister, our father, our mother, our children, one earlier manuscript says wife, our farm, our, for my name's sake, shall receive many times as much, and shall what?
Inherit eternal life.
So, then he says, first will be last, and last will be first. So, now, let's look at the key here in the laborers in the vineyard. All right, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Who's the landowner in this?
Jesus.
The Lord. Amen? And he says, who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard? Okay. Now, let me give you a little history. to be hired in that period in time, a day's work was from 6 a.m. in the morning to 6 a.m. at night. 6 p.m. at night. Dante, hand me that clock off the wall and pass it up here. I need that for myself right now. All right.
Well,
there we go. Maybe I can handle it. All right. Here we go. Where's the dial? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Start of the day. Is that 6? 6 is awful, though, ain't it? Maybe that's why I'm not preaching. I ain't getting to preach long enough. Why are you frowning?
You're upside down. Yeah, don't look at it. You're upside down.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
My bad. That's why my wife was frowning.
All right.
Time to get up. 4 in the morning. 5. Got to get out. Got to get going, right?
Yeah.
All right. Few minutes till.
In there.
All right. So, 6 in the morning to 6 at night.
He worked 12 hours a day. Okay?
And guess what the pay was back then? It was called a denarius. Anybody know what that was back then in the day? Sonny, you know?
What the value was?
Yeah. It was a penny.
Penny.
It was a penny. 12 hours. But this, you know, what can you buy for that, all that? This isn't today. We're thinking of penny. Wow. Back then, that's today's labor. Okay? So, now, I need a pen. All right. Not only that, when you was hired, there was a contract, right? For that. So, look at verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like the landowner who went out. All right, here, I'm going to be the landowner. All right. And early in the morning, he hired laborers for the vineyard. I need some people who need a penny. Stand up. Who would work today? Who's the guys? Come on. All right. Sign your name on here. Sign your name on here. Y'all come on in line. Get on line. Whatever. Come on. Get
it. Can we start at 7?
All right. We're good. That's all we need right now. We got 25. Okay. These guys represent whatever. The vineyard.
Can we just wake up at 7?
Get over here and work.
All right.
Work in the vineyard. Start working. Get it. Get it. Don't stop. Keep going. Cut those grapes. Get those thorns off and thistles. So when they had agreed with the labor for a denarius, they signed. All right. They had made their agreement, right? Work. They worked for that. He sent them into the vineyard. Work. Now look at 3. Here we go. Keep going. Y'all ain't working on it. Keep it going.
Well,
I'm back up at 6 again. Nope. 9 o'clock. Shoot, these guys
don't know. There's one where the power is.
I don't get it all done or not.
I need to work at the 7.
Here comes the guy. More laborers. More laborers. More laborers. Anybody? Are you yelling?
Oh, that's on a call.
So you want to work?
Yeah, I'll work.
Okay. Come on.
25 more. Whatever.
All right. All right. 9 o'clock. Got them working. Work, look, work more, talk less. Well, so listen, he went out in the third hour, 9 a.m. Saw these guys standing in the marketplace. And to those he said, you go to, like, but go to, work in the vineyard. And whatever's right, I'm going to give it to you, okay?
Okay.
Whatever's
sounds
right.
Good.
Okay.
Well,
all right. So he went out again, the sixth hour and the ninth hour. More laborers. More laborers.
I'm going to get up here.
I'm coming.
12th hour. All right. 12. Come on.
I'm going to be the only one that does it right, though. See, I'm prone.
I'm
using it.
Oh, all right.
Keep going. We're picking the grapes here. We're picking the grapes here.
Keep going. That's what I was doing. Keep working.
Oh, boy.
And he did it again.
Yep, more people.
Did it again, more people.
Run out of
paper. All right.
Sorry to get down there.
Who's this guy?
Oh, I'm going to pick two.
And then here we go.
I thought you was...
Now listen. Verse 6. In about the 11th hour, he went out to find others standing, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day?
I was never hired.
He's never hired?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Come on in. Come on in.
Yeah.
No. He would never hire. Come on in. Go to work. Go to work.
He'll get paid tomorrow. We're going to pay
today. Yeah. You're
digging
a little.
Yeah.
11th hour, right? You guys keep going. I've been working 2 hours.
Right down.
All right. Ding.
Where's the water?
You need water?
Permit.
So he calls and he tells the foreman, he says, call him in. 12 hours. Okay.
Thank
you. Oh, man!
Wait. Hey, guy, come back here. Come back here.
Well, that ain't right.
You hard work.
We've been working all day.
Working all day?
I didn't get no water.
You didn't get no water? Well,
yeah, didn't they just get paid the same?
Come on, man. You gotta help me out. I have family to feed.
That's not good business.
Not good business? Who runs this business?
Well, I guess you do.
You're on your own.
I'm looking at you. This is what he tells them. And when they were hired, let's see. And when the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call him, like we did. And when those hired, now look at this. This is a bad translation word, okay? This is not in the original. It's supposed to be called, okay? Those called about the 11th hour came each one, received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, and they also received each one a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who have bore the burden and the scorching heat of all day. No water. I heard that.
Where's my water?
But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius. Mm-hmm. Take what is yours and go your way. But I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what I is my own? Or is it your eye envious because I am generous? And here it says again, thus the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Guys, let's look at the landowner. Who is he?
God the Father.
Can I tell you this morning that God doesn't owe us anything? Can I tell you that because you know why he don't owe us anything? Because he's already given us everything.
Amen.
He's given us every need that we need. And he's given it freely because of his son Jesus. He's the creator of everything you have. He's the creator of this world, the universe, and everything in it. He give you your family. He give you your children. He give you your jobs. He give you your money and everything there is about because he is the Almighty I Am. So you've got to look at the landowner when he at this end, when he says this, he says, I wish to give this last man the same as you. The law, it's not a law that I don't. You see, God is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
Right? What does God look at?
The heart.
Now these guys that signed the contract, what did they agree for?
A penny a day.
So what are they grumbling about?
Somebody got more than they
got. Somebody got more than they got.
Well, somebody got the same amount that they got for the less.
Well, they made it like it was more, that's right. But they got the same amount.
They agreed to it from the get. That's right.
A deal is a deal.
That's right.
The contract, the deal. He didn't rip them off.
No.
Did he? My friends, this morning, God wants you to hear me. He wants you to understand that when he opens doors in other people's lives, and you've been in this thing a long time, some of you, but God says it to me, told me, he says, this is the 11th hour. And if I want to raise somebody up in the 11th hour to do what I need them to do, I will do it. I don't owe any man any explanation. I don't need anybody that's church savvy. I don't need anybody that knows all about the programs. What I need is an obedient, willing servant.
Amen.
I need that laborer like Josiah who was up here standing the whole time. You see, if you look into the story, it says they were standing, those men. Now I want to bring something out. There's a big thing in this one thing here about what it means to be hired and what it means to be called.
Amen.
You see, the first guys were hired by contract. They signed on the line. There's her name right there. I can't read it, but it's on there. And they were okay. He worked out of the agreement with them. It don't say what do you work for, but it was known that a denarius is what they work for a day's work, right? So that was it. But now look with me again. Let's look back over it because we got to keep breaking it down and see it. Again, verse 2, and when he had agreed with the laborers, okay, for a denarius for the vineyard, he sent them. They went to work. Then at 9, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And those, he said, you go too. Go too if you want to go work. Go ahead. It didn't say, see, they wasn't on this schedule. Just what he says. He goes on and says, and when they went out in the sixth and ninth hour, and about the 11th hour, back up four. And he said to those, he said, you go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you. And so they went. You see, today in the church, you can take this in the church. You can, this there's a lot of revelation in this. You can take it in the work front. You can take it anywhere you want to take it. Matthew Henry, he goes into this as like the Jews and the Gentiles.
Right.
And he goes into the end, the beginning and the end times. And you can go into all that. But today, the Lord's speaking to me about attitude in the heart. And he's speaking to all of us here. You see, he told them, I'll give you, bug is one, trust, I'll give you what you worth. And they went. They went knowing that whatever. Stood there all day, Josiah and his crew, all day long, never left. It says standing about. How many hours?
11
hours. Every time they saw that landowner, some of them may have been popping up from around the corner. But what do you see in this whole story right here as it unfolds? And they said to him, because no one hired us, he said to them, you go to the vineyard. Now, whether this is like Matthew Henry said, this is the Gentiles or not, I'll leave it there. Study it. Again, God isn't a respecter of persons. Whether it's the Jews that didn't want to keep and receive Christ as who he was, or if it's like Paul, who maybe he was the killer of the Jews, right? Paul was a rough guy, but it took that one time. He got older, and what? God struck him down on the road to Damascus, didn't he? Because why? Because he had a plan and a purpose. He had a call on his life. Now look at this word, the one I said that's a bad translation in 9. He said, and when those hired, and I read this and I was like, wow. This word is mistranslated. It's called. It's supposed to be called. Called about the 11th hour. There's a difference in being hired to do a job and or hired or be a part of some of the ministry and then to be called. What does it mean to be called by God?
A heart's desire.
Heart's desire? What else?
It means God's put his finger on you. He wants you to do something.
Okay. What else? Anybody know? Okay. What is the one scripture we use all the time when the nation gets in turmoil and when we're like seeing things we're having right now? If my people or what?
Called by my name
will humble themselves and pray and what?
Seek
my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. Can you see that in this story? These guys who are out there standing in the heat of day, knowing they're probably not going to get any money, but yet they're making themselves what? Available. They're making themselves available. You getting this? You see, with God, it's about making yourself available, because it says, and listen to this, over in Matthew 22, it says, for many are called, but what?
Few
are chosen. You see, God looks at the intent of the heart. He don't look at the man. He didn't look at Joshua here. the way he looked, he didn't look at any one of these men that come up this morning on the physical, did he? What's he looking at? Can I tell you, God will mix things up sometimes in your life.
Amen.
He'll let you get sick as a dog and we're to see if you're going to still praise him in that time. I know, I've been there.
Amen.
3 weeks of it. You know, he'll let you lose your job sometimes and to see if you're going to trust him with your job. He'll let you even lose a loved one sometimes and see if you're still going to stay in this thing, and you're going to be the one standing there like Josiah saying, I'm still here, Lord. I'm still here. I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm willing. And I'm able. You see, what's happening in the body of Christ is if we don't get in here and we don't get, oh, me, be me, and we don't get our name on the roster or whatever it is and get put in a position a lot of times, what happens? We get all sourpuss face when somebody else comes in and God says they're the one, and then they get put over there, and then what happens?
Then
they get jealous. Grumbling and griping and starts. Why do you think there's a church on every corner? Because somebody's, and what's the word? I'm going to use it even on here, butt hurt. Amen.
What's going on in the world wide web? How about that? Praise the Lord. Can a pastor say that?
Who
cares? It's a new word I heard this year. Butt hurt.
You got him on your shoulders.
Carrying him on your shoulders. I did all this. I did all that. Does it matter? Does it bring up a scripture in mind? Matthew 24 said, but Lord,
come on.
Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do mighty works and do these things in your name? And he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never even knew you.
That's right.
Amen,
you see, God don't work on the external. He works on the internal. He works on the heart of man and the heart of women that are willing and able and ready to put yourself out there and say, like the second group to say, whatever, I'm good with whatever you can pay me, Lord.
That's right.
If it's nothing, I'm just glad to be here.
Come on.
Everybody's looking for prestige. Everybody's looking for a name, a label or something. Call me this, call me that. God's looking in the heart of man. He's looking for 11th hour Christianity. Come on now, that'll preach. You know it will. God is ready. Now whether we're in that dispensation of time, I don't know if we're in between the second group or the last. But I will tell you this, look around.
Amen.
Look around. And all these things are happening in the world today and all these trials. It ain't nothing new under the sun, really. It just is here in America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, come on.
In the third world country, it's been worse and worse and worse all the way back to the martyr. And they're still killing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're just now getting, it's kind of like Cherokee County versus Gilmer and Blue Ridge. There's quite a few years difference, right? Let's go a little further. So, you see that translation, called. They were called out. They wasn't hired. They were willing to work for whatever and happy to be there. God, if we could just get some people of God to be like that. We got to beg these days for people to come pray. We got to beg them to come to church half the time. Run after them. Then when you don't run after them, they get mad. And if you run after them, they get mad. And they say, well, we still quit calling me. And then you come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. And then there's like, well, what in the world can you do? You can't please someone like that.
Amen.
There's a 6 a.m. gang. There's a contract people. Well, bless God, I've been in the church for this amount of time, and I think I deserve this.
Yeah.
Grumblers and gripers causing havoc in the church, never satisfied with nothing. Unless it's about them.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mm. Probably give them one more of these and then go, okay. Y'all give my Daenerys back. Y'all got me. I was going to use hundreds, but I didn't have any. Verse 11, and when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner. Now, I know anybody in here ain't never grumbled at God.
I know.
But Lord!
Yeah.
Why?
It ain't fair.
Yeah.
I give my dollar.
What is my return?
Forget about the tent. I give my 50 cents in the altar. Come on, this is truth.
Come on, brother. You're preaching.
Saying these last men having worked only 1 hour and you have made them equal to us. With God, everybody's the same. He looks at us as the same all the time. Even when we sin, He looks at us as the sinner, but we're saved by grace. Come on. And but He says, I love you, I hate you sin. But we look and say, well, bless God, so-and-so been doing this, and I think that's good. But yet you're over there gossiping. You're sinning. Just come on. You're the grumbler. You're the one that's at the phone ministry. You're the one that says this and that. You're destroying the body of Christ. You're trying to destroy the workplace, and God knows it.
Yep.
Cool.
Come on.
I've been out a while. I want to preach a little here this morning. So these men, they're grumbling. They're griping, and they're saying all this. And He says, all equal. I wish I'd had a bigger stage and could have had them maybe doing push-ups and stuff, and Josiah got down there and really just pumped it out and showed them really how to do it, and it was going out there, Eric and Joshua. But we didn't really have a big stage. That's why we got to believe God for next thing, guys. We got to believe God for the next thing. And I'm telling you, the only way we can do that is in our heart. We got to get past what we think. We got to get past what we think that we need to do. We got to do what God tells us to do. Come on now. He told us to do this building on the side. It ain't me. I don't care. I love This here's been great 4 years coming up in November, and there's been days that we wondered how in the world, and then God still provided. He still paid the payment. He still paid the light bill and the gas bill, and He brought in new people along the way. But some of them's been the 6 a.m. Christians. God is wanting to raise some 11-hour Christianity in this house.
Amen.
Somebody that'll stick, that knows it, they're called. I'm ready for whatever it takes. You call me to prayer, I'm ready to come pray. You call me to go work a booth, I'm ready to work a booth. Come on. You call me to put in extra in the time, I'm ready.
Come on, bro.
Oh, we don't want to talk about that now. I got something else I'm going to wrap up. Hey, my clocks, it's on the 11th hour. I can preach a long time. So He goes on, and he answered and said to one of them, now get this one. This revelation for me when I'm on this. And He said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Now, this word friend, I looked it up in the Greek. Well, I'm probably going to mess it up when I say it, but a true friend in the Bible comes out as the word philos. Philos. Okay? This is not it. This is not the word. The word here is H-E-T-A-I-R-O-S. Sonny, can you say that one?
Atrocious.
Atrocious.
It sounds like it, doesn't it? Ateros?
Ateros. I'm not Greek. I mess them up. I go with the numbers, 20083. You know what this one means? It means a false friend. Someone who attaches himself to someone for self-purpose.
Ooh.
Ouch. Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm-hmm. And get this. It's the same word that Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane when, you know who come to Judas? Come to turn him in? Here comes him and the soldiers. Jesus said, friend. It's the same word.
Do what you gotta do.
Do what you gotta do.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Holy Ghost. You see, God knows your heart. He knows if you're real. Some of you know there's some true friends and there's some whatever that word is, friend. He made a point. And then he backed it up with, take what's yours and get on your way. But I wish to give this last man the same as you. It's not lawful for me to do what I wish and what is my own plan. You see, God's going to do what God's going to do. He'll do it with you or he'll do it without you. There's some people who are missing God right now. They're everywhere, all everywhere you go. And they're saying Christianity, yes, I'm saved. And I'm not saying they're not. But what I am saying is there is something about forsaking not the assembly together. There's something about not having true friends. There's something about not having accountability and having ministers and pastors and teachers and all the things of the fivefold ministry in your life. Because guess what? Every whim and doctrine. It says, even, and if this is even end time stuff, it will tell you that even to the elect shall be deceived. And you take that as what it is. And Jesus in Matthew 24 was talking to church folk when they said, didn't we do this and that? But he said, I never knew you. Isn't that a sad thing? Guys, the 11th hour. When you get to the 12th hour, me and guys, we will have a lesson this week on this. What was the last thing in our, if we're chronic, right? Chronic. If you're an addict, if you're an alcoholic, there's stages. And you get to a point, the last stage is chronic. What is chronic? It's too late. It's the 12th hour. We don't know when the 12th hour is going to come. Nobody in this room, it might be when you pull out there on that street. It might be next week and all of a sudden you're stricken with an illness and it's cancerous or something. It takes your life. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the landowner this morning?
Oh, yeah. Come on. We could be in Las Vegas and get shot in the head.
Where you put yourself, the people you surround yourself with, the grumblers, the complainers, those people who are going to tear down everybody, you need to shut it out of your life. You need to shut them off and shut your ears and be able to say, no, if we're not going to hear talk about this person and they got something good about them, then I don't want to hear it. There's nothing wrong with that. We do our socials at work, and in Good Shepherd, we start out, if there's a we do more and less, and if there's a less, what is it we say, Joshua?
I love you, but.
Say it loud.
I love you, but.
I love you, but. And then you tell them. Everything is wound up in love, guys. And God's love is equal. Just like His pay was equal in here. His love, He don't love anyone no more than He loves this one. This one in here. He loves his created. You know why? He created them, created all of us in His own image. Do you think He loved His Son Jesus? Absolutely. You think it didn't tear Him apart to see Him beaten and scourged and chastised for your sake? Come on, let's get real this morning. Let's look at this whole picture. Where are we at? Surrendering in this time and period of your life. Because I believe there's some chosen people in here. There's a chosen generation right now rising up. These young men, these some of you, and guess what? It's not just for the young ones. You think about it. Who was in the 11th hour? The last one there, he could have been the old one. Right?
Right. Deathbed confession.
It happens every day.
That's right.
Does that make it any different? Does he go to heaven? Does he have an eternal life?
His heart's right when he does.
But the fact is, what are we doing about it? The harvest is plenteous, plentiful. But what?
Laborers
are few. The kingdom of God is not just about you. It's about the King and what?
The kingdom.
And a kingdom has
many.
God, always remember. What's God doing in this? Is this a test? The 6-hour guys, they failed. With a bad attitude. Attitude's everything, guys. James 2:23 says that the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God."
Yes.
The friend of God. True friend of God. Now, where's your heart this morning? I want to ask you, this is not a long sermon, but I believe the Lord's really challenging us. It's like a domino effect, guys, your attitude. And where you go from here at this point. And where we go as a body here.
Right.
And where you go in your next thing, and your sobriety, your life, your family. Where are you going to lead them? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Attitude of the heart. Well, how did Paul describe the heart? Evil, wicked. He recognizes it. Why I do these things? I know I should do them. I don't want to do them, but I keep on doing them. Romans 7. You say it in CR all the time. Your addiction. If you could have quit, you already would have. Accountability is key. But it's also accountability with Him and where you're at in your prayer. He says, you know, don't be like the hypocrites on the corner praying where everybody else can hear them. Y'all know that scripture? Mm-hmm. Praying out loud, blah, 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 loud, you know. Stirring up. Is that helping anybody? Mm-hmm. Says what? Go to your prayer closet. Get down on your knees. Find your place with God. Listen to God. Pray to God. And you got a prayer closet. Don't you need to get one? Because listen, I'm telling you, I know. If you don't start the day with that, your silent, your quiet time, your with God, your whole day may go way bad. Because you're not going to hear the Holy Spirit. You've got everything going. This is a fast world. It's a fast mind. Now, whether these guys that started out that day were probably had an attitude, bad attitude from the start, I don't know. They may have started out good, like most Christians do, on fire for God, right? And then slowly by slowly, things happen. It's real easy to get hooked up with the wrong ones, and it not just outside the world. It can be inside the world, in the church too. It can be some people that try or there. It says they might be sitting beside you in the church, and how does it explain it? We're like what? Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Right.
It's contagious. Now what are we gonna be? Contagious, love of fire, thankful, good attitude. What Christians are we going to be? The grumblers? Are we going to be those people? Somebody tell me anything else that stood out to you in the scriptures today. What about old Peter going back? Did anybody ever know that's why that understanding the parable it relates to Peter's question, you know, what then will there be for us? Right? There's a big distinction between these laborers who were hired for that sum of money and then those who are called out to work for whatever and be willing to say whatever, Lord, you pay.
Have a servant's heart, that's what I got.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. What else?
I look at it with the penny, it's salvation. And some people get the salvation at an early age and they're doing Lord's work and they might, you know, get, but then they fade away and they start whatever, grumbling, whatever the case might be with their chores and stuff, but then during that person in the 11th hour gets called into it, and he gets that payment, which is salvation, and that person's on fire, and those other ones that have been sitting in the church, they've just become sour when they see somebody coming in that's given more, God's blessing that person, they're angry because they're not getting the blessing that guy got, because they're looking at it differently. They've taken their eyes off the prize. And that prize is salvation. And that's that payment. But Darius is that, to me, it looks like that's salvation. God's given it to you. Come work for me. Here it is. But then we get stale. We get old. We get bitter. And we see it around every day.
Yeah.
Self-centeredness is the source of all grief. Christ-centeredness is the source of all blessings, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
When you have your eyes on yourself,
yeah,
it's going to depress you. You're not going to want to drink. You're going to want to do things that you shouldn't do when you focus on yourself.
That's
when
right.
You focus on Jesus and how good he's been and what he's done for you, your life. Ooh.
That's right. Amen. Amen. You know, to be, like it said, the true friend, what you're saying is right on. And that we got to understand, people out here are looking. They're always looking, right? They're always looking. Especially those who God is trying to put directly in your life. And Christians these days, born-again believers, they're out there, they're worldly, they're carnal, okay? And here they're holier than now. I'm not saying in here, okay, but in the church, okay?
Right.
So what is that showing those who are lost?
Before God, but you're hypocrites.
Exactly.
And it's true.
Exactly.
That's probably the single greatest reason why the church is falling in decline as a whole, right? And it's because people see Christians as hypocrites.
Yep.
You read about it all the time on the TV. You got a president that not this one, but you've got a president that advocates abortion and calls himself a Christian. It's a hypocrisy all by itself. Because it's hype.
Well, Rhonda said it there. When selfishness is, we're selfish. We're born into sin. We're born into this selfish mentality. And I call it my BC days. My BC days, love was all about what Ronnie could get, okay? And then when I got my AD days, I learned what it true meaning of love was, and that was the giving of yourself for the benefit of others.
That's how you get the true joy. You know, with sober recovery, we use cross sticks with everything, you know? But with joy, Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. And if you do that in that order, you'll have joy in your life. There's no way Satan can take that away from you. You're putting Jesus first, and you're putting other people second, and you put yourself last, and you'll have joy in your life.
12 10, I fixed this, it's right.
Well, let me say something about that, about joy. The one thing that comes to mind with that, and codependents, just scratch that. Okay. Because they don't understand the healthy version of Jesus first, others. It's like, I'm not worthy. That's why others are first. But when you've got Jesus first, others next, and then yourself, what it's saying is, that's not a picture of you forcing yourself to put others before yourself.
Right. It's natural.
It is a natural outpouring pouring when Jesus is first and you trust that everything he's going to give you is enough. That if
Amen.
You need it, it's there for you. Mm-hmm. That if someone else gets what you want, it doesn't mean there's one less in God's storehouse for you.
Right.
Okay? So you can say, all right, I don't have to eke it out or fight that person to get what I need. So Jesus comes first, and then I have the trust in God to know it's okay if I give to this other person. God will take care of me. And then the other thing is thinking, not thinking more highly of yourself than you are. If you think, I'm better than that person, my sin isn't as bad as theirs, then you'll have to grit your teeth to try and give the other.
You're under the law, you're right. So Jesus never died to pay for that person's sin.
Exactly.
Self-centeredness, it's all about self.
I just want you guys to think legalistically about Jesus and then others and yourself. If you're having a struggle putting others in front of yourself, don't try harder. That's not the problem. That's not the issue. That means you just focus on Jesus.
And center yourself and surrender to Him and everything.
Yes.
And the humility of being surrendered to Him. Can I show you something real quick? We'll close in prayer. Look with me. Look back on 18 and 19. In the rich young ruler, and I don't know if y'all ever saw this, but this is really cool. After he said, what can I do? Eternal life. And he said to him, Jesus said, why are you asking me about what is good? He's setting the trout right here. He's ready to set the hook right here, right? There's only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Do we forget about the commandments? And we live in grace, okay? But Jesus didn't say to forget about the commandments.
No,
now look at this right here. Come on, now hang with me. 18, he said to him, which one?
Yeah, which one?
Listen to this now. Get this. And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father, your mother, and you shall not, and you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Okay, real quickly now, which ones did he forget?
He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart.
Jesus, again, this goes with it. He knows the intent of the heart. He knew the intent of the rich man's heart. You know why he specifically left those out? Because he knew he had already done these.
Yeah.
He'd already done these. Let me finish.
Yeah.
He just finished this. How many is there?
Six. The other four.
The other four are the first four.
Yep.
That have to do with God.
That all have to do with the heart. In God.
Yeah.
oh, that'll preach. Oh, because most people say, I've taken care of others. I've been nice to others. I'm nice to others.
That's right. I've been good.
Yeah,
see, this led right into where Peter. Peter hadn't been converted. Come on. He got the revelation, and his name was changed, but what did he need?
The Holy
Ghost power.
Yeah.
He had not.
Woo. I keep going. My better close. Huh?
It had not been fulfilled.
It had not been fulfilled. He had not went to the Father to send another so that he'd be empowered to not deny Jesus the Lord three times, whatever. Mm-hmm. Let's pray. Anybody in here this morning? God's penetrated your heart. Raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you. You got to get out. Okay. Anybody else? All right. Okay. How many here want to be closer to God? Everybody's hands ought to be up. First of all, the key to get closer to God is through repentance.
Amen.
And you have to repent. Godly sorrow brings true repentance. Godly sorrow is not feeling sorry that you got caught.
That's right.
It's a true inward aching of the heart because the Spirit of God lives in you. So if that's you this morning, I want you to pray your prayer, Lord, forgive me, and repent of whatever that is. Okay? Make this your altar right where you're at. And ask the Lord for forgiveness. Because He's ready. He's willing. He's able. And He's ready to put it in the past and the sea of forgetfulness if you are. And He wants you to move forward. You can never move forward if there's sin in your life. It separates you from God. You can keep going like the 6 a.m. crew. But you know what? Little by little, you're going to get more and more and further and further away from God with a grumbling spirit, an unselfish mentality that somebody owes you something, something, whatever right now. If that's you in here, you need to humble yourself right now before the Lord. If my people who are called by my name will pray and humble themselves. If you're in here right now, you need to humble yourself before the Lord and say, here I am, Lord. I'm broken. I need you, Lord. I can't do this without you, Lord. I've got to have more, Lord, whatever it is in your life right now. Would you place Him first? Would you make Him priority?